start this over. 2 Timothy 4:1 said, I charge thee therefore before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Then he goes on and says, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up a crown of righteousness. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not only to me, and not to me only, but also all them that love his appearing. I want to preach or do my best to share some scripture tonight with you on preaching. I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and a guy that was riding in the truck with me asked me, did I believe in preaching? I said, yes. It's the method and message that God chose to save sinners. I am not saying that you cannot get saved out of singing. I am not saying that you can't get saved at a fellowship gathering, just an ice cream Wednesday afternoon or hot dog or wherever. But somewhere along the way, a man of God with the unction and anointing, and I said a man of God now, I believe God calls men to preach, not women. God uses women greatly, thank God for it. And I want to go ahead and say this. Two of the churches I've been affiliated with and pastored, if it hadn't been for the women, those doors would have shut. We want to put the women down and make fun of them, be quite honest with you. They really tote the bulk of the load. And I thank God for it, amen. And I had the privilege of preaching to my daughter and son-in-law, and I told her, and I poured my heart out to them. I said, Michaela, you want to be a help to Trevor, him being a deacon? You stay in your lane. You stay submissive. You be submissive to him. You pray for him. You lift him up. If you want to be a heartache to him, get out of your lane. What I'm saying, get out of your place. Get out of the will of God is what I'm saying. But I thank God for the women. But I believe that a man of God to get up and preach with the unction and anointing of God and preach the Word of God is what I'm fixing to share with you. And I believe the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the same person, you got to give in to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. If what man has ears to hear, let him hear what saith the word of the Lord. You got to give in to it, and he's got to prick your heart. You got to be submissive to it. I know that Sunday morning I got saved, it felt like that was the last time God was ever going to deal with me. It might not have been. He might have extended that hand of grace a few more times. I do not know. But it felt like that Sunday morning, that's the last time I was ever going to get a chance to get saved. Exactly that's how I felt. And thank God I did get saved. But I believe it takes preaching. It's God's method and God's message to save those that believe. You can get saved anywhere, but you've heard the Word of God preached first. Happens no other way. It don't happen no other way. The Holy Spirit of God can take anyone. It don't matter if you run in pews. It don't matter if you stand in still and quiet and solemn. But the Word of God and the power of the Word of God is what convicts sinners. Amen. That's what it is. But I want to tell you tonight, I'm glad that when he says preach the Word here, and there's a few preachers in here tonight, and I've had this charge put out to me, and I guess I could say it tonight, preach the Word. The question was asked to me, he said, why do you believe in preaching? I said, because it's God's message, it's God's method of saying. And as a matter of fact, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Hey, there's a lot, would you agree with me today, that today preaching the word of God ain't in season? Got all these praise and worship. You can praise and worship God, it's just a fancy term for choir director. Oh God, I done killed it tonight. I'm just being honest with you. You may have a different way of putting it, but the message is the same. The virgin birth, death, burial, and resurrection. The method is the same. It still takes preaching, amen. It still takes it. You can't get right without preaching. You ain't going to stay right without preaching. I felt that way, Brother Kenny, before God ever called me to preach. I felt that way. I'm glad there's some men of God of old that I had the privilege of sitting under that didn't mind spitting and slobbering all over me, putting that finger in my face and telling me what I needed to do according to the Word of God. That's what Paul's telling Timothy right here. Preach the Word. Don't preach your own theology. Don't preach your own ideology. Preach the Word. What Word are we talking about? I'm talking about the Word that is forever settled in heaven. Amen. Can you imagine that when those two men are on the road to Emmaus and they all discouraged and what's going on and some says a husband and wife, I really don't know, but Brother Dorsey, they're walking along and Jesus comes up beside them on the road to the main. They don't know what in the world's going on. They don't know their head, don't know yes or a no or up for them. They're so discouraged. They're so distraught. And they said, have you not heard all the things good? And he preached unto him himself. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of Almighty right now, evermore making intercession for you and I. Hey, boy, ain't that good? I mean, buddy, He knows what we need. Matter of fact, He is our advocate. He's our intercessor. Have you ever knelt down to pray and just didn't have words to say? You ever been asked a question and you ain't got answers? And they said, I need to know something. I need to know it right now. And all you can do is, well, let's go to the Word of God. God, I need you. Been there. But I'm glad. And he said, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. We're definitely living a day when it's really out of season. And it also says when we preach the Word, there's some reproof, some rebuke, there's some exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And I want to say that. I want to say this with all my heart. Now, I was kidding with Sister Eva when she come in. I went to open the door and said, it feels so good to help the elderly. She didn't know whether to hit me or hug me. And I know it says we're not to rebuke an elder. I believe with all my heart that if someone has been saved longer than us, it's not my place to rebuke them. My place, Brother Dorsey, is to help them. And if I be the pastor somewhere else again, I believe we're to do that in private, and we're to do that in love, and we're to do with all long-suffering. Matter of fact, I'm sitting in a room tonight with a bunch of people. I believe y'all believe like I am. None of us deserve God's grace. None of us deserve God's goodness. None of us deserve God's kindness. Hallelujah. Somebody with long suffering to witness to that Friday night, Brother Kent. I want to tell you, when Dorothy Alsobrook and Doug and Johnny Turner and Shirley Turner and Susan McGinn to witness to me, I didn't want to be there. I wanted to get up and get out of there. I couldn't wait to get to the dog box, turn those dogs loose and go coon hunting, but little did I know, I felt like God trying to kill me. All He wanted to do is love me. You know what they were doing? They were sharing the Word of God with kindness and long-suffering. Preach the Word. And I want to say this before I go any further. When we preach this Bible right here, and I say this humbly, it does not need me and you to defend it. I got wrote down in my notes right here. And y'all have heard me say this many a times. I meant to say this that Sunday morning when I was testifying about the Sunday school classes and going and all that again. We got some of the best Sunday school teachers you could have anywhere right here at Gateway Baptist Church. I want to go on record and say I am not one of the best. I'm giving it my best. I'm doing my dead level best. But I'm not the best teacher there is out there. I've said this a million times. I struggle more with teaching than I do preaching. I'm really wanting to preach tonight, and God's pulling the reins back on me. I'm struggling with it a little bit tonight. Y'all, please pray for me. I got this wrote down. Preaching is proclaiming God's Word. There's some things we just can proclaim. When David fought Goliath, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He didn't go no explanation of what he's going to do. He didn't go an explanation of who God was. He just, I proclaim, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, and Goliath was already whooped. All right? Hey, something we just got to proclaim. Teaching is the explanation of God's Word. I struggle with that. It ain't that you can't explain it. And I'm fixing to read some more scripture here. But it needs to be done in demonstration as well. I'm one, Sister Linda, I'm one, boy, I want to grab it and go. When I get on the job, I want to get it done. Now, I say this, if my wife is sitting here tonight, we do all things well together but work. We're too much alike. We both headstrong. We both going to do it our way. And I'd say, as she's sitting here, not using it as a whipping post, but Brother Dorsey, I want to get it done. Why spend 5 hours doing something you don't want to do and you spend an hour and get it done with and go on to something else? That's just me. I want to get the job done and go on. It's the way I was raised. Daddy, you say, boy, I'm going to quote a term to you. John Wayne said, burning daylight, them hammers ain't swinging, I ain't making no money. You know what he's saying, don't you? Get swinging them hammers. Let's go, boys. I'm that way. We get them lawnmower blades ain't turning, boys. Let's go. Got time and money, you got to go. I want to get on to it. I want to move on, but sometimes you got to take time. A perfectionist takes their time. My pa-in-law is a perfectionist perfection. He takes his time and he does things. You got to worry about not being done right. It's going to be done. It's going to be done very good. Well, I'm going, good gosh, I could have done had this done 5 times. It's done covered up and ain't nobody going to notice it. That's just not everybody's alike. Explaining sometimes is you got to slow down and make sure. And with Caleb last night, that's what I was doing. Me and him, man, I enjoyed that last night. He's teaching about Abraham, where he was praying for 25 years. And he really, I think he only prayed once, but he asked God, and God told him 3 times in 25 years, are you going to give him a son? And boy, he wrote that. He's writing how, man, he'd do, I just enjoyed that. I think I got more out of it than he did. Just seeing the gleam in his eyes and when God spoke to him. But proclaiming and then explaining is two different things, but it's the same message. I want you to know that tonight, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm talking about preaching tonight. Preaching, we're to preach Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He was born a virgin. I believe He lived a sinless life. I believe He done all the miracles that the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to talk, the lame to walk, raised the dead from the ground. I believe that He turned the water into wine. I believe that He done miracles. He lived a sinless life. He was a spotless Lamb of God that was crucified for you and I. I believe that crucified Him on the cross. I believe that He bled and He died. And not God, man didn't kill Him. He gave His own life a ransom for many to be saved. And I believe He was wrapped in a body, wrapped and put in Joseph's tomb. And I personally believe He went to hell and got the keys, amen. That's what Revelation 1:18 says. Behold, I'm He that was dead, am alive forevermore. Said amen. I have the keys of death and of hell. Where are you going to get the keys of hell at? You got to go to hell and get them. I believe He went down there and I believe He preached over there in paradise to those Old Testament saints. And I believe He preached to them. And Ephesians says He led captivity captive. I believe He is seen with Thomas. He said, I'll not believe unless I see the prince in His hand and put my finger in His side. And He comes through the door and Thomas sees Him and puts the finger in His side, and Jesus tells him, blessed are you, Thomas, that you have seen, but more blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. Amen. I believe He has seen above 500 brethren. I believe Josh told it Sunday morning. I'm teaching through the book of Acts. I believe over in the book of Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, I believe Jesus is rising up. I believe He's being ascended up into heaven, and those men of Galilee are standing there, two angels and one says, ye men of Galilee, oh, why stand ye gazing for this same Jesus, not another Jesus, not an imposter Jesus, this same Jesus, yes, amen, shall come in like so manner. I believe He's sitting at the right hand of God Almighty right now, evermore making intercession for us. That's the gospel that I preach. I don't preach it for filthy lucre. I was told when I gave up my first church that I was looking for something that paid a whole lot more. I said, man, you ain't paid attention to the thing I preached in 4.5 years here. I preached Jesus, the gospel. We have a gospel that comforts us. He's the God of all comfort. Sister Linda, I know you know about this. In recent months, recent few weeks, laying in bed in the middle of the night, I cannot attest to that. But all of a sudden, you don't know how you're going to make it through, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up. I've been riding down the road, going through battles and troubles. You can tell your wife, or your wife can tell you, you don't quite understand. But Brenda, you know about that too. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost will show up in that truck. And am I the only one that does this? You hit repeat, and you turn it up a little bit louder. You say amen, I do it over and over again. Matter of fact, when I got my headset in, I get a notification on my cell phone. I get a warning, your headset's too loud, turn it down. All of a sudden, he'll show up. And you wonder, where'd that come from? I'm talking about a God that comforts us. He's the God of all comfort. Thessalonians, matter of fact, I said Corinthians. Let me turn to Thessalonians. Man, I'm on Thessalonians chapter 4, God of all comfort. Chapter 4, I know y'all know this, but I want to read it to you. He's a God that can comfort us. And might I say to you, you ain't got to go through great troubles and trials to be comforted. You just pray and trust in Him, He'll comfort you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, let me turn to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may lack nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven, with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And listen to this right here. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. He's able to comfort us. He does it by the working of the Holy Spirit of God that's birthed on the inside of us. Five, 18 and 19. We start reading at verse 9. It's Thessalonians, same book, first chapter 5. He said, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, and warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm glad we have the Word of God that can comfort us. I'm glad we have a Savior who's sitting at the right hand of God Almighty. And when you don't know what's going on and you don't know what's going to happen next, you don't understand what's taking place, God can comfort you. God can comfort you. You say, did Christ need comforting? Well, I can tell you when He went to the mountain apart and the angels come and ministered unto Him. In the flesh, He needed it. But I'm talking about tonight, we have a God that the gospel of Jesus Christ that can comfort us. How about only that? It changes us. I ain't what I used to be. I ain't been perfect in my Christian walk. God saved my soul. He didn't save my flesh. He didn't save your flesh either. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If your salvation's gotten old, it's you that moved, not God. Should God let me live to May the 19th of next month, be 40 years. 40 years. God saved me. Sister Tara, it's just as real and just as fresh today as it was the day I got saved. I love telling it as much now as I told it a million times before. I had somebody tell me at one church, she said, "Boy, that's all you know to say, ain't it?" I said, "Well, could you say anything else?" I'm saved and going to heaven. How about you? I'm glad that I'm going to heaven. I'm glad that on the 19th of May of 1985, I got saved by God. He changed me. We have a gospel that changes. It ain't us that does the changing. It's the power of His Word. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm talking about preaching the Word, preaching a Word that can comfort us and preaching a Word that can change. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but of demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Can I say to you tonight, that's what we need? We need some men of God that'll get up with Holy Ghost boldness and humbleness. Not arrogance, not bitterness, not use the pulpit as a whipping post, but to proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. To proclaim it, the virgin birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first 8 or 9 verses says it is, according to the Scriptures. We're to preach Jesus Christ risen. And any time Paul stood before Festus, any time Paul stood before Agrippa, and any other political figure, he always took them right back, Sister Terry, when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He told him his testimony. And I think it was Festus or was it Agrippa that said, "Thou almost persuadest me." And he said, and Paul told him, "I wish you were even as I am, accept these bonds." I remember preaching at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church one night, and I had Jeremy Wilkes lock me in some cuffs. And nobody knew it, but and I know y'all don't believe this, but I stood behind the pulpit and never moved. For about 5 minutes, that's what I done. And then I stepped out and I said, "I wish y'all were even as I am, accept these bonds," and I couldn't break them. I couldn't pull out of them. And sad to say, even sitting here tonight, some are thinking about the bonds that's got the hands so bound where they can't go. Why? I'm talking about the bonds that's in your heart. I had a guy a few years ago work for me. Cost me a lot of money. And it really wasn't the money that bothered me. It was what he'd done two times. He was with me both times he'd done it. I was wrong in what I did. I was in the flesh. And it ain't about being macho. I had to go apologize to him. I had to. In order for me to be right with God, I had to apologize to him. It's one reason why I resigned out there at New England. I couldn't be what I needed to be for them, and it wasn't fair to them. I'm not going to put on a show. I'm not going to go through the motions. I just don't want something to say. I mean, Brother Walter picking him about having the gift of gab. I don't want the gift there. When I stand to say something, I want God to use me. When I stand to preach God's Word, it ain't me I want you to hear. I want you to hear God's Word. But Brother Dorsey, I've been there where I stepped down because I couldn't be what I needed to be for them. I allowed anger. I had bitterness. And I couldn't get rid of it. Some of you sitting here tonight, you fought that. Am I the only one here that's ever been mad at God? We all have in some form or fashion. But Sister Connor, even when we're mad at him, he still loves us. He understands us. Psalms 19, I think it is, says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows us in and out. Jeremiah covers it pretty good. From my mother's womb, he knew me. I'm glad not only that, he changes us. I said a while ago, he saved my soul. He didn't save my flesh. This last year and a half, I've been praying for God to humble me. I want to be more humble. I've never ran from a fight. But Sister Eva, that's not what I want to be remembered as. I want to be remembered as some macho dude that stood his ground. I want to be humble. And God will put you in them situations. Corey was with me when this situation happened. I promise you, I was doing my dead level best to be as humble as I could and get off. Like I testified about it one night here. What I'm saying, when you pray for God to do something, He's going to put you in that situation. You ever pray for patience and all of a sudden you had a tribulation come? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? When you pray, God, give me a, Lord, I ain't asking that tonight. I need you, this is a demonstration, illustration. You praying for tribulation to come to you. Tribulation worketh patience. It ain't the other way around. But it's a gospel that changes us. And I believe that in this Christian life, we're always to be changing. I don't believe we ever get in the center of God's will and stay there. In this flesh, we ain't going to. Paul said, I die daily. I'm preaching the gospel tonight, and Paul preached, amen. He's charging Timothy to preach, be instant in season, out of season. We're definitely living the day when it ain't in season. And he's preaching, we need to be demonstrating in chapter 2, verse 1. You ever heard anybody had the gift of gab? I think it was Tony Hudson that said that he'd heard men speak with eloquence. I mean, they knew how to orate. They knew all the right words to say. They knew how to put the comma here, the period there. And I think he went on and he said, he heard one preacher say, I've learned as through life I go to focus on the donut and not the hole. Them holes don't taste too good, but the donut does, amen. And I'd rather hear somebody, Charles Ray Baugh, who I had the privilege of preaching for in Bryson City, North Carolina, I think it is. I think it's where Bryson City is, up on the other side of Cherokee, over in that area. Up, I had the privilege of preaching for him. Sister, he couldn't even read God's Word. But his wife would get up and read the Scripture for him. But what power that man had to preach. Are you saying that God couldn't let him read? Oh, yeah, God could have taught him to read, but that was the way God used him. I'd rather hear somebody who had to drop out of high school and help raise their mama, help their mama raise their daddy, their siblings, that never had the opportunity to go to school. But sister, they knew a lot about neology. They knew about praying and asking God. They knew a lot about faith. God works for me. He asked me, Brother Dorsey, what do you think faith is? I said, well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He goes, well, what else? I said, well, then if you'll read chapter 11, go past that first verse, you've got 40-something verses that gives us a whole chapter about what faith is. But don't take my word for it. Get in the Bible. And as a matter of fact, Hebrews talks about that tonight, talking about comfort. Not only do we have preaching the gospel that can comfort us, preaching the gospel that can change us. How about conquering? Whew. I'm the littlest of four. I'm the oldest, best looking, four. They all bigger and meaner than I am. I got hand-me-ups instead of hand-me-downs. When me and LaDonna married, I weighed 120 pounds. I was a little bitty, scrawny thing. But there ain't no way in the world, Sister Eva, when I was going to let one of my siblings get the best of me. I was going to fight with everything that we had. I had. Daddy got tired of it. All right, boys, here's what I'm going to do. He put us in the backyard with boxing gloves. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Put us in, you've got brothers. Y'all fight it out. Whatever it is, you end it right here, right now. Winner gets 3 licks, loser gets 6. After 2 or 3 times of that, we didn't want to fight no more. It wasn't the punching and kicking and fighting with the boxer. It was those licks we was going to get from Papa that it broke us from. What I'm getting at is conquering. Did you know that in Romans chapter 8 it said we're more than conquerors? I think it's 8 verse 37. We're more than conquerors. Why? Because I think it's in John chapter 16. Let me get up here and read it. I'm fixing to close. Yes, I am. I'm closing. I know y'all think that's... Yeah, he's going to close 4 more times. Let me pull it up. Josh is rubbing off on me. I got me an iPad here tonight. She's grinning over there. Let me pull this thing up. I'm learning. I'm not much of a technology fella, but I'm learning on this. I'll give you some scriptures about conquering. It says in John chapter 16, verse 33, I've told you these things so that that in me you may have peace in the world, but you will have tribulations. But take courage. I have overcome the world. I tell about conquerors, amen. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, amen. He did. That's what he done. How about in Revelation? They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as they away from death. How about Ephesians 6, 10 and 11? Finally, be strong in the Lord and his power, his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's scheme. That's the only way we're going to put on the armor of God and we can conquer battles in our lives is going into him. 1 John 4:4. Ye little children are from God and have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Hebrews chapter 11 says right here, verse 32 and 34. And what more shall I say? Time will not allow me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained the what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, and escaped the edge of the sword, who gained strength from weakness, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies in flight. Amen. I'm talking about conquering. Why can we do that? Because Brother Dorsey, he's our conqueror. And if you've been born again, the Holy Spirit of God is birthed on the inside of your heart, and we are more than conquered. We're joint heirs, amen, with him. Joint means you only get half. We get all. Me and LaDonna was going through her 401k stuff, and she had to meet with the guy that through their school system, and we got a meeting set up with some of mine where I can move my stuff around. And I'm sitting there, and me and LaDonna had kind of a disagreement. What is it? I heard one preacher say in an intense moment of fellowship, Pastor T, we're sitting there at that table. I'm going through all this stuff, and I'm going through about our Social Security and all that. And I just looked over at her and said, I still am the beneficiary, ain't I? Said, it sounds like you've upped it a little bit. It sounds like you're trying to get ready to snap me out. It's talking about getting half in heaven. We're joint heirs. Sister Eve, that means we're going to get everything. Equal parts. I want everything he has. You do too. We have a gospel that comforts us. We have a gospel that changes us. I got a brother. His name's Terry. A lot of y'all here know him. He's basing his salvation when he's playing basketball at New Georgia Baptist Church. It was the gentleman there before, or a gentleman there after John met us. I cannot remember his name. He's basing his salvation on they're out there playing basketball. Pastor of the church comes out and says, oh, y'all want to go to heaven? Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, we want to go. You got a bus? Go. Let's go. Let's go. That sounds some of them just like they had no idea, no one. Bow your head and repeat this prayer. So that's what they done. Terry comes up to me later that evening and said, "I want you to know I got saved. I got saved." "You did? Boy, I was rejoicing with him, so tell me about it then. I want to hear about it. I want to rejoice with you. Tell me about it." Well, this preacher come out and told me to repeat the prayer after me, and I said, "Terry, do you know what the gospel is?" "No, no, not really. I meant what I said. You will not get saved without hearing preaching, a clear presentation of the gospel. If I'm wrong, somebody show me and I'll repent of it. But I believe that Bible teaches a clear, matter of fact, I just read it to you in demonstration, clear presentation of the virgin birth, death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe it is that simple. It ain't a 10-page step. You ain't got to go in the back and fill out no cards. I believe you can hear it, get under conviction, and get saved. I believe that with all my heart. Boy, I'm talking about a change. I never seen no change. Are you judging your brother? I'm judging my brother, not according to him by his life, but what that book says. Is there a change? "You saw now, Brother Billy, you've got faults too." I said, "I know I've had my problems. Everybody in here's got problems. But I also know a guy by the name I ain't never met. I'm going to him when I get to heaven. But David, he committed 2 of the top 10 and God still used him." It does not matter what you've done, God can use you. He wants to, Brother Billy, he wants to use you. Go have a gospel that comforts, changes, and have a gospel that can conquer. It does not matter. A lot of people go through troubles and trials because of what happened to them when they were younger, when they were raised, with fear being put over them, and later in life it affects them. Got a guy that worked for me. He said, "I just don't understand how God can let something like that happen." He's God. It's a matter of choices. Either choose to serve Him or you don't choose to serve Him. It's that simple. But He loves you. I said, "But buddy, all I know to tell you, I can't fight this battle for you. I can fight this battle with you. We'll pray about it. And I believe God can conquer this. But in order for whatever battle you're facing, you've got to be submissive to His will and give it to Him. Less of me, more Him. No matter what battle it is you're going through, maybe financial, maybe marital, maybe something physical, whatever it is, whatever you're going through, Brother Billy, I believe, less of me, more Him. God can conquer it. And I want to close out this way tonight. All that will, let's come to the altar and pray. Whatever you're facing, I promise you, if you'll leave it right here on the altar at Gateway Baptist Church, God can take care of it. Y'all come on. How I want to close this out tonight. I told you I was closing. You need comfort, God can comfort you. You having a battle with something that nobody would understand, give it to God. God can help you conquer that. If there's areas in your life you want to draw closer to Him and you want to change, God can help you with that. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to be able to share from Your Word tonight what You put in my hearts. Lord, it's Your Word. I believe Your Word is forever settled in heaven. Dear God, I believe it's the only thing in this world. As Your Word says, it's going to last. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word is going to live on. Father, I pray tonight for everyone that's in this building tonight, God, that You'll touch their situations, whatever battle they're facing, whatever the situation is. God, I believe with all my heart You can help and You can work in that. I believe with all my heart you're God, even though as you told the Apostle Paul about that thorn in the flesh, that your grace was sufficient. Father, I pray with all my heart tonight, everyone in this building, dear Lord, that they'll just submit themselves to you. Lord, help us pray for the lost. Help us to be able to be encouraging to the feeble-minded. Lord, those that are struggling in day-to-day life, Lord, I pray with all my heart, dear God, you'll help us help them. I pray for our pastor and his family. Dear Lord, as he's on call this week, give him grace and give him strength to make it through it, to make good decisions on the job. Lord, touch him and bless him. Lord God, I pray that tonight, as Caleb was teaching tonight, dear God, that you'll just amaze him. Lord, what you can do through a young man, Lord, when he stands and yields himself to you. But Lord, most of all, in this building tonight, those that are sitting in the pews with their heads bowed, and Lord, those that are in the altar, Lord, just in case there might be one here tonight that has never trusted you as their Savior, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will deal with their heart, and Lord, they'll give in to the wooing of the Holy Ghost, and Lord, they'll miss a devil's hell. Father, I pray, Lord, for our lost loved ones. Lord, I call my family out, my mom and dad and my brothers, Lord, and I have nieces and nephews. Lord, I have in-laws on my side, dear God, Lord, that need to be in your will. Lord, I pray that you'll help us be humble, and Lord, use us, dear Lord, to be a witness unto them. Father, I pray, Lord, for Trevor and Michaela, my daughter and son-in-law, dear Lord. Lord, it may be just one day, Lord, it be your will. Lord, that you'll just bless them with a child. God, they've been praying for several years, and Lord, we have with them. And Lord, just want to bring that to you. That could be a battle that we're facing tonight. Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, you'll just work in that situation. First in your name, I ask as humbly as I know how. Once again, all the prayers that was prayed here tonight, that was made mention on this prayer list, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'll intervene. And Lord, that you'll just make your grace forever known. First in your name, I ask as humbly as I know how. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.